pints if you got good beer. Here a little tippet,
I'd like to relate. Hey, Leaf, how you doing? Well, I don't know what's going on. There you go.
Oh, am I there?
Now we can hear you.
I'm doing
you.
Good. How good. Are you doing, Depp?
You know, it's a long day. I got here kind of early, and I'm staying kind of late. But I like those kind of days.
Yeah.
Springtime gives me more sunshine to do something with.
Starting to make some hay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like to
do.
It's nice. So I dig it. And you were saying that you had a correction. Like if we were a newspaper, this would be the little thing that
says... The redaction section.
Yeah, what'd you do wrong?
Evidently, the WDFW must have got around to fixing their mistake with... They had opened a few of these creeks and actually closed a few that should have been open a while ago. Lake Creek, among those, was open for a short time. I was told by a listener who checked me out on Facebook there and said, "Hey, dude, check it out." I haven't even looked, but I'm sure he's probably right because, like I say, it was kind of open by mistake, but I hadn't even gotten a chance to take advantage of that mistake either myself before it was closed again.
No.
Not since I was a kid, unfortunately.
Is that a fun place to fish?
It is a great place to fish. I guess their worry really is with the bull trout, which kind of segues, though, into... the thing that I've been talking to you about lately with the rule simplification.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a giant reeking bummer. and I just can't really
say,
I don't usually like to get off on my own personal soapbox, but I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way, that it's just sort of a bummer that you're paying a lot more money for all this stuff and you're actually getting less. So lately it's been a streamlining effect where they want to, they switched it from the old, if it didn't say it was closed, it was open, to if it doesn't say it's open, it's closed, if you get what I'm saying there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they want to close more stuff because they don't want to talk about all the different rules that that they have in place right now. I would go as far as to argue in saying that, Washington State is a pretty bare bones rule state. They don't have all these crazy rules, even though we have like anadromous fish, we have native and non-native and wild and hatchery fish.
Yeah.
Our rules are pretty darn streamlined already.
Okay.
If you go over into like Montana, Idaho, California, Wyoming, some of these other places, you have certain streams where you can only fly fish, certain streams where you can only use dry flies, certain places where they really get it down to the nitty gritty. And if you don't like it, then you just go to a different place. And, we have plenty of places to have different opportunities. And I just wish that we could kind of get to a place where we could maybe say dry fly fish the upper part of the Chewook. If the concern is spring Chinook, pretty sure you're not going to have those guys hitting your dry flies. Same with bull trout in Lake Creek. Tiny dry flies are not necessarily what you usually attract a bull trout to the surface with, and that's their concern at Lake Creek.
Well, that does confuse me a little bit too, because I feel like, getting to know you, I get to we get a little bit of an inside, track on all the information, all the science that you guys get, more than ever, which means that you could actually make those fine distinctions of what might be open, what we need to protect.
When the fish are there, which fish are there.
And so to not sort of, have those kind of rules that, that are a little bit more exacting.
Fine-tuned.
It just seems like you said, you're getting less for your money. So I'm not sure why they are... doing that. And I know that's beyond the scope of our show here, but...
And I am a little bit, obviously biased, but in my experience, you don't really stop fishing. You just have people fishing that shouldn't be fishing, and usually in a way that's even worse. For example, if you go up the Chewook, where it's not open to fishing, above 8 Mile, it goes from all of a sudden seeing no signs of really fishing to seeing signs of the kind of fishing you really shouldn't have there. There's empty bait, power bait, egg containers, rooster tail wrappers laying on the beach, and they just pulled it right out of there with the treble hook on there, all barbs on all three, and just started fishing. So the only people that aren't fishing up there basically are the people who are following the rules, or that would go up there and fish with some sort of conscience. So I'll try to get off my personal soapbox, but I would really like to throw it out there at everybody to know that they're about to ratchet down the rules even more. And so if you really want to, rattle the cage of these folks, I'd encourage you to get a hold of the director at Fish and Wildlife. I wish I had his number. Jeff Corthin of Freda is probably the best person, or Ryan Fortier here at 997-0316. He'll get you going in the right direction. And also, you know, just like our representatives, Brad Hawkins. I've been talking to that guy a lot, yeah. Senator Hawkins, and he'll get right back to you. And it's a good thing to do, because if we don't have people raising their voices, we'll lose these things.
Okay.
For example, we just had the Upper Columbia Steelhead endorsement stamp. It's actually still sitting on the desk down there in the state Senate office, and they're kind of trying to put it onto different bills. And those of you out there might not all be familiar with the Upper Columbia Steelhead endorsement stamp, but what it is, it was a program that was designed by people, by the constituencies of the usage of that resource, not even the WDFW themselves, the fishermen and the business owners designed an extra, you know, $5 that we could pay to make sure that we have the creelers to check our fisheries and the enforcement officers so that we can have fisheries on these endangered species or sensitive species like Chinook and steelhead. So it'd be a bummer to see a program that was designed by the taxpayers, put forth by the taxpayers, totally worked, totally stayed in the black, and then might be lost because people are kind of twiddling their thumbs in Olympia.
Well,
remember these things are happening.
Well, I feel like I can kind of relate to the different forces at this. I mean, when I was a kid, even as a kid, I could read the regs and figure out, you know, when opening day was and what lakes that I could get to might be open.
Right.
And it was fairly simple. And there's always that thing in a person that, why don't they just make it simple?
Yeah.
And I kind of get that.
Yep.
But nowadays, when you see that there's fish populations that are stressed at different times, and you just sort of understand the bigger world that the fish negotiate all the time, you realize that, well, you should put all of that knowledge into play.
Absolutely.
And you kind of assume that the guys whose job it is to care about fish are using that info.
I definitely feel that way.
I mean, that's how I am nowadays.
Yeah. Well, and you know, after working in fisheries for almost 15 years now, that is probably the thing I've heard most from people, is that they can't understand the regulations or they don't like the regulations. And unfortunately, that's been the big message. And so this might be the big hatchet response right back at you here coming up. So just watch out what you wish for. And you might want to you know, wish for what you can right now, because the rules are kind of going to get set in stone again for at least a certain amount of time again here soon.
Anyway,
nitty gritty of fishing, huh?
Well, the nitty gritty of fishing and with the rivers open, but they're so full.
So crazy.
What do you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they went down for a little bit, and it all just depends on the daily temps right now. There's always about a 24-hour lag time to whatever just happened as far as hot or cold.
Yeah.
And right now, we're coming off of a few hot days that had spiked it up, and we're coming into what's our January that I always talk about.
Yeah.
January usually is centered around June 9th, and looks like it's only about 3 days long this time. That's super sweet.
Here we are.
But, you know, it's kind of nice because it'll quell that recent spike that we've had, and it'll bring it back. It was about 11,000 this morning when I checked, and I bet it'll put it back down underneath, 10,000, hopefully around 6 or 8 again here now. And when it's dipped low, you know, I've been watching it real closely and run out there and just kind of hit some of these pools and back eddies and side pockets that I've had my eye on. And, you know, I did rather well up the Twist River the other day.
Oh, really?
Hooked into, you know, just a couple steelhead smolt, a decent little cutthroat, and something much, much bigger.
Something.
I have a feeling it might have been a spring Chinook grabbing on my my conehead leech.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, so right now I'm just, when I'm going out there, I'm basically just focusing on sinking line, and just a small streamer, just a little, like a conehead leech or carry special, something like that.
Okay.
To get it down there, use some sinking line and just swing into it if you can, or just mooch it back. Back eddies, like I say, are good. If, you know, pretty soon when things start to mellow out, right now can't even really see most side channels, but once you can see some side channels, you'll be able to cast where the side channel and the main channel meet, hit those seams, you know, and it's, you know, you'll get some fish out of it before you think, but only if you give it a try. And
well,
I only recommend doing that if you're doing it super safely.
Well, yes. Now we should mention that there is plenty of water coming Absolutely. Down there, and it can knock your feet right out from yeah. under you.
Even if you're just wading, I don't, like I always say, I don't even recommend really wading. Just get your toes wet so your line's wet too or whatever, but don't really need to get out there because most of the good water is right next to the bank anyway. You just might have to mm-hmm. position yourself mm-hmm. a little bit. Even if you're wading, though, it's not a bad idea to wear a life vest. And right now, if you're on the sticks, make sure you have some knowledge of how to row that boat because it's oh, just geez. Enough water to get you in some trouble for sure.
Oh,
I would probably personally be giving it another 2 weeks before I yeah. even try it. I'll be doing some shots in my boat here in the next couple of weeks if it looks the right level uh-huh. and getting some trips done before I get clients out there.
Yeah,
you know,
but
Sarah and I will be getting some oar time.
Yeah, but you're an experienced boater on this river, right?
Well, and even I, you know, I always try to keep it in the back of my mind. It only takes one mistake for anybody, anytime out yeah. there. My buddy Kevin, who's been guiding even longer, he said the other day, you know, he had to tell a guy who was just itching, just have patience. And I think he's right. Sometimes you just got to have patience, tie some flies,
yeah,
fish something else, like Campbell Lake, for example.
I was going to bring up lakes.
Yeah, I just went up there with my buddy Jimbo, and we saw a couple of the folks from the Methow Fly Fishers Club. They had gotten the jump on us there mm-hmm. and got in there for what looked like the morning bite. They said mm-hmm. they did pretty good right until we got on the water, they said.
Of course. Yeah.
But we did manage to pull down a few nice ones. Cool. Especially Jimbo got a couple of nice ones right after I left. And it's just looking pretty up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's been holding a lot more water. And
nice.
It's so beautiful right there at the top end of Pipestone. And
yeah.
For those of you that are listening and don't even fish, you know, it's just a great place to go take a walk, see some flowers, see some birds or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful spot.
Oh, springtime in the Methow is yeah. magic. So,
you know, so most of the lakes right now, they're coming up on 70 degree surface temps on these hot days during the middle of the day. So it's going to turn that into a morning and evening thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to be fishing well for probably another 2 or 3 weeks. But that should coincide pretty well with the beginning of
yeah.
The real river shots there. So,
cool.
You know, just keep your eye on the weather and on the flow gauges. That's what I'm doing right now. And,
yeah.
you know, you should probably be able to look ahead there a few days and mm-hmm. decide, well, nope, the river's not going to be down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should figure out what lake I'm going to.
Patience.
I personally, I'm trying to get out to Black Lake and spend a night with my buddy Sarah and Glenn and
cool.
Maybe a few other friends and take our boats up there and do that thing.
Oh,
up, right?
Yeah. Let me know how that
Talking
works
about
out.
Sinking line and getting down there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully
that sounds
that'll
like
be
fun.
A lot of fun. I want to remind everybody that the Backcountry Hunters and Fishers Group have their pint and hangout thing going on up at the OSB on Thursday the 15th.
Okay.
I believe it was 6:00. Really want to kind of push what they're doing because it falls right alongside what we're doing at the OORC and the Okanagan
mm-hmm.
Backroads Coalition here. We're trying to make sure that we have our backroads accessible so we can get to those trails and extreme backroads that those guys want to hunt and
yeah.
and gain fishing access to back there or whatever else they're doing. So,
you know, a lot of those roads are sometimes they're roads that were put in to log a place, but more often and
right.
the thing that makes me more interested in keeping those open is historically they were the roads that we used to get here or there.
Uh-huh.
Historic
yeah.
roads.
Absolutely.
I don't like the idea of not being able to sort of cover the ground that some wagons
no.
covered back in the
yeah.
day. That should just be part of our heritage that
yeah.
we get to experience and see, you know, go up and, you know, just sort of relive a little bit of history.
Yep. I think, you know, if we're not careful, you know, it's not too long before all those old things are hemmed in. And I know change is inevitable, but I'd like to see some of those things that stay the way they were when I was a kid and when
yeah.
my grandparents were kids. And, you know, I have family too that came over that wagon trail over there and
mm-hmm.
settled up Beaver Creek here. And, you know, that part of my family wouldn't have gotten over here, or, you know, the same
yeah.
way, I guess.
Well,
but it's important.
Well, especially important because, like you say, things do change.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep access to those things so that we can remember that it wasn't
right.
too many generations ago when we were just sort of stumbling in here
yep.
wondering what the, hey, could we maybe stay?
I know, right? And so, you know, check out the OSB on Thursday the 15th. With the,
I don't have a time, so I'm not quite sure, but I'm guessing it's an after work thing.
I believe it's
at
like
thing.
6:00 or
okay.
something like that. And, you know, check out the Backcountry Hunters and Fishers. And also you can check out the Okanagan Open Roads Coalition on Facebook.
Okay.
And, you know, if you want to book a trip or need some fishing tips, just give me a call at 509-429-7298. Shoot me an email at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or check out the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. stay cool out there, everybody. Be good to each other and get that fish right on. Wife gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, many fish bite if you got good bait. I'm gonna fish it. My mama gonna fish it.